And now a non-weather Washington, D.C. story. When the Supreme Court declared the formula that the federal government used to regulate voting practices under the Voting Rights Act outdated and struck it down last June, the Roberts Court allowed for the possibility that Congress might come up with a new formula not based on 50-year-old approaches to racial segregation. Politicians at the time, some even on this program, doubted whether the current Congress would go anywhere near this issue. But a bipartisan group of lawmakers has introduced a new bill that takes up some of the issues identified in the Supreme Court's June decision, Shelby County versus Holder. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, welcome.
Hi, John.
Braving the snow to get here. It's great to have you here, Todd. Also joining us from snowy WGBH in Boston is Aaron O'Brien, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Massachusetts in Boston. Aaron, welcome.
Pleased to be here.
All right, Todd, let me begin with you. The coalition, how surprising is it? Give me the casting here.
The coalition itself is not terribly surprising, but to have such a bipartisan group in this Congress certainly is. You've got Pat Leahy, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, liberal and civil libertarian. Then his counterpart from the House, well, not the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, which is a factor, but the longtime chairman, James Sensenbrenner, conservative of Wisconsin, but a champion of the Voting Rights Act, joining in. You've got a few others, notably John Lewis, the famous civil rights activist and leader from Georgia, longtime congressman, is also on board, and a couple of other liberals and conservatives signing on as co-sponsors. So the coalition is notable. Getting it passed is another issue, but the fact that you have this broad bipartisan, sort of ideologically bipartisan group is definitely a thing.
Aaron O'Brien, what do you make of the approach here to try to come up with a formula that I suspect would be a new national sort of a preclearance kind of formula? Preclearance, if you could explain that term, which was actually part of what the Supreme Court struck down in the Voting Rights Act.
Sure. The idea behind preclearance is that sort of the usual suspects when it comes to voting rights infringements, especially for minorities and African Americans, would have to go to the feds first. If they were going to make some sort of change to their electoral laws, they'd have to go to the feds before they implemented it. What the Supreme Court said is they don't have to do that anymore. And as Todd said, most of us thought, okay, the court said Congress could act, but no one thought they really would. So it was quite a surprise, actually, when they took it up. But the way they took it up is, a little bit surprising, especially coming out of the House, that none of the voter ID stuff made it in. A lot of us thought that might sort of be the price of doing business. And what they said was states or localities would be subject to preclearance if they had over five voting rights offenses over a 15-year period. So in some ways, that allows for taking a look at racial bias and states or localities that are doing things that are disparate treatment to minorities. But it doesn't have the same language, if you will, or the same symbolic resonance as Section 4 did.
That's Aaron O'Brien, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Massachusetts in Boston. So Aaron suggests that the way they've gone about this is kind of surprising, given the makeup of the Republican House particularly. Do you think Sensenbrenner here, the Wisconsin Republican, is part of the shaping of this approach?
Well, there's no question about that, and there's no question that he carries enormous weight in this coalition and will with conservatives and House Republican leadership. Without Sensenbrenner, this thing doesn't have a prayer. It may not actually already, but without him, there's no chance. Let's listen to him in his own words from just the other day, kind of describing how they put this coalition together and what it means.
What we were facing in drafting a modernization of the VRA was both a constitutional challenge, given the court's decision, as well as a political challenge in figuring out how to get the votes to pass this legislation in a divided and very fractured and partisan Congress. I think we have threaded that needle.
Now, he believes he's threaded that needle because they've compromised on the voter ID issue, which Aaron referred to a moment ago, which is anathema to liberals.
Right.
And they have embraced a formula which talks about offenses, as Aaron pointed out, not some sort of broader demographic kind of look.
That's right. And not a sense of history or an American sense of history that the South is segregationist,
right,
therefore all of the South gets preclearance. This is based on behavior, which a lot of Republicans...
Like points on your driver's license.
Points
kind of
that's a great way to look at it. And even a stricter standard for locations, which only have to have 3 violations. Also, the liberals like in this, it makes it the simple way to say it, Aaron will correct me if I'm wrong, it makes it easier to sue, to get an injunction. It used to be in the old Voting Rights Act, it was very hard to go to court and get something stopped until the election was already over and it was too late. This lowers the legal bar so that if you think there's a problem in your jurisdiction, it's easier to get a stay, an injunction from the court, and get a ruling to stop a potential violation under this new proposal.
So, Aaron, does this thread the needle? You know, Todd has said there is an uphill battle here politically. What do you make of it?
You know, I think it does, in part because of the surprise that they acted. So the left is disappointed because there isn't real discussion of race in there, but that the fact that they're doing anything is really, you know, the surprise. And if you've got both sides a little bit unhappy, then you probably are threading the needle.
And Todd, what do you think in terms of votes?
Well, really, really difficult to say. Conservatives are not very interested in dealing with this. This is really going to be a leadership call in the House Republican leadership. Now, Leahy said something important the other day. He said this is not something that is going to be filibustered in the Senate. Maybe he has an agreement. We asked him what that meant. He kind of shrugged it off. Eric Cantor, the House Majority Leader, is the one to watch. He's from the South. He's from Virginia. The exempting of voting rights laws, voter ID laws, which are rampant across the country, was the price to play for Cantor, but he hasn't signed onto the bill. If he does, that makes an enormous difference, but we don't know what he thinks yet.
Todd Zwillig, takeaway Washington correspondent. No snow day for you, right?
Oh, I'm down here. I'm not wearing a snowsuit or anything.
Aaron O'Brien, no snow day for you, right?
No, indeed.
All right. She's associate professor of political science at the University of Massachusetts, Boston, talking about the Voting Rights Act and the possibility that the Congress would actually update the Voting Rights Act. All this hour, we're collecting your favorite memories of snow days when you were kids.
Hi, this is Bill. Today I'm calling from Wichita, Kansas. Growing up in the South, we didn't really have a lot of snow days, but on the last day of seventh grade in Southern California, a bunch of seniors ditched school that day, drove up to the top of Big Bear Mountain, and then drove back down and pelted us with snowballs that they had picked up at the top of the mountain.
Snow days, fond memories. Call us with yours at 877-8-MY-TAKE. This is The Tickler.